Okay, for wound healing, I want you to remember that the two important components are regeneration and repair. Regeneration, by definition, means that you're recapitulating the normal architecture. Okay? Damaged cells are being replaced by cells of the same type. For tissue repair, that means that the tissue has been irreversibly damaged, and you're replacing that tissue now, usually with granulation tissue and ultimately fibrosis. That's repair. Okay, let's talk about regeneration first. The important thing I want you to remember for regeneration is what cell type has been injured. If the cell type is a libel cell, those are cells that proliferate throughout life. Great examples of that are epithelium, like the skin, always proliferating. This tissue can always regenerate. The GI tract, always proliferating. It has the capacity to regenerate. Okay, the next type of cell is called a stable cell. During life, those cells are proliferating, but they're proliferating at a very slow rate. The good thing about these cells is that they have the capacity to regenerate. So for instance, the liver, it's slowly proliferating. But if I removed a large chunk of your liver today, by the time you take the exam, your liver will have completely regenerated itself and replaced itself, because liver cells have the capacity to regenerate. They're stable cells. On the exam, they love to ask about permanent cells, because these cells do not have the capacity to regenerate. What are these cells? Well, the brain. Once you lose the neurons, they're gone forever. The only way you're going to heal is with fibrosis. Another big organ is the heart. Unfortunately, once you destroy your heart muscle, it's gone forever. The only thing you can do is replace it with fibrosis. Okay, let's move on to tissue repair now. By definition, tissue repair is you're replacing a damaged area with fibrosis. How does your body do this? Well, there's a whole list of various growth factors and cytokines that play a role. But the thing I want you to focus on is, what is the tissue called? Repair is mediated by a tissue called granulation tissue. The way I want you to remember granulation tissue is it contains two components. It contains fibroblasts and capillaries. Fibroblasts are producing a lot of collagen. They're laying down. Usually it starts with type 3 collagen. Over time, the collagen will turn to type 1 collagen. The other component is the endothelial cells. You'll have increased vascularity to the tissue. Okay. Now, over time, all wounds, all granulation tissue, will actually contract. Now, they've asked in the past, why do wounds contract? Why, when you get a scar, does it contract? The cell that's responsible is called the myofibroblast. It's just a fibroblast which has taken on contractile properties. Okay? That's why you develop contractures with large scars. Okay, and ultimately, the end product of granulation tissue is going to be a well-healed scar, mostly collagen with a couple of vessels. Okay, let's talk about the types of wound healing. There's primary healing and there's secondary healing. The other name for primary healing is healing by first intention. For this type of healing to occur, it has to be usually a surgical scar, where you can take the two edges of the wound and put them together very nicely. There's not a big tissue defect. Okay, so with healing by first intention, there's very little granulation tissue formed. You don't need much. You won't have a lot of contraction. You won't have a lot of scarring. As opposed to healing by secondary intention, by definition, you have a large tissue defect. This defect now has to fill in with granulation tissue. You're going to have to pull the edges together. You're going to have a lot more wound contraction, a lot more scarring. Okay? That's the big difference. Okay, let's go on to aberrations of wound healing gone astray. For this, they've asked about, what are some of the factors that delay wound healing? Well, some of the big factors are foreign bodies. If you have a foreign body in there, it's not going to be able to heal well. Infection. This is probably the most important. The body will continue to have inflammation. You won't be able to heal until you clear that infection. So which is the most important factor? Infection. What else? Ischemia. Diabetics, they're not good wound healers. Malnutrition, especially vitamin C, scurvy. Okay, because remember, you got to form a lot of collagen. Okay, let's move on to hypertrophic scar versus keloid. By definition, a hypertrophic scar is too much granulation tissue production. The scar will be raised. You can actually palpate it, but it usually is limited to the wound itself, as opposed to a keloid. Keloids, by definition, again, there's way too much granulation tissue, but now the granulation tissue extends beyond the site of the wound. Okay? And it's like a spectrum. Okay? Usually there's a genetic predisposition to either hypertrophic scars or keloids, and it's along a spectrum. Some people will have lots of granulation tissue and form hypertrophic scars. Some people will have an even greater amount of granulation tissue formed, and those people will form keloids. So it's really a spectrum. Okay, last thing I want you to remember about keloids is they usually occur in African Americans more commonly than Caucasians. What else do I want you to remember? They tend to occur in areas of injury, especially in women when they get their ear pierced. Okay? They can develop huge nodules on the ear. I've seen some that are the size of grapefruits. You're walking around with this, not too attractive, right? And if you did a biopsy of it, you see lots and lots of collagen. The board's asked, what type of collagen will you see there? Well, if you remember, in normal wound healing, you start with collagen type 3, and over time it turns to type 1, a couple of weeks. A keloid is an aberration of wound healing. It does not mature to type 1. So on the exam, when they ask you, what collagen do you see in keloids? The answer is always type 3. Okay, let's move on and talk about connective tissue components. Oh boy, there are 14 types of different collagens. Do you need to know them all? No. Whew. In fact, the only ones I've ever seen them test on you are the top 4. What are they? You got to know type 1. Why? It's the most common collagen. It's found in every organ. It's also the strongest. It's got the highest tensile strength. So where do you find it? You find it in skin, your bones, tendons, and most other organs. For type 2, not usually tested, it's found in cartilage and in the eye and the vitreous humor. Type 3, very important because it's found in early granulation tissue. It's also found in embryogenesis. Why? Because type 3, think about it, it's very pliable. It's a pliable form of collagen. It's great for wound healing, so granulation tissue. It's also great for forming organs. So during embryogenesis, you'll see it a lot as well. The last type that the board loves to ask about is type 4. Why? Because it's found in basement membranes. It's also important for a number of different diseases. For instance, what antibody is produced against type 4 collagen? Good pastures. You'll form type 1 antibodies against type 1 collagen.